Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here today, realizing his microphone is a little bit taller than he is at the moment, so now I have to elevate my posture here, and it is so unnatural sitting up straight. I am a slouch man. And I think it runs in the family if you look at my poor grandmother. Anyway, happy to be here on the Silk or Joe Show, nonetheless, with you all here this weekend. And we have to give some thanks before I just get into my mumbling news of the day segment where I entertain you all. Well, I don't entertain you all. I probably frighten you all and make you all angry with the news of the day that I find significant enough to take up the 16 or so minutes that I get with you all every week on this program that doesn't involve guests. Anyway, the Main Street Radio Network, we want to thank them for allowing this program to exist. Actually, under the Silk or Joe Show title, I think we're about in the third year now, or entering the fourth year, been around for 3 years under this title. Now, the show's been around since November of 2013 in one form or another. It's had two previous iterations. However, sometime in late March of 2021, the show ended up being turned over officially to me. I lost the emails, so I really have no clue. That's also something for you all folks at home. If you're backing up your emails, make sure they're backed up before you delete them. Because I went through a process with that, and I thought I had them all. It turns out I had like half of them, so yeah, some history has been lost here. Anyway, we do want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com is their website. You can find the Silk or Joe Show up there. You can find podcasts of the show up there as well in case you missed an episode. And we do delete those after a while, too, after like, I don't know, a year or something that it's gone. But yeah, by then, it's old news anyway. You should have listened to it when you had the chance. And also, you can find the Alan Nathan Show up there. And sometimes I guest host it. Actually, this week, I guest hosted it 3 times in a row. Wednesday, Thursday, and yesterday. So you can listen to it up there on MainStreetNetwork.com if you decide you want to take a look-see or take a listen, I should say, at the 6 hours that I spent hosting that show this week. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Now, our social media pages are Main Street Radio Network's Facebook page at Main Street Radio Network, but also Wimkin, WIMKIN at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio, and Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, where, you know, I was a little late on posting that I was guest hosting the Alan Nathan Show sometimes, but eventually you find out if you follow me there. Find out just in time to perhaps hear some of the program anyway, if you are of a mind. Though, I mean, if I'm posting there like at noon the day after, you're probably not going to get to be able to listen to it until it gets posted on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com in podcast form. By then, it's too late. Everything in there is old news. Anyway, speaking of old news, this week we had, I covered this a little bit on Wednesday's Alan Nathan Show. There was the media doing its usual stuff. That's why I say it's old news, not just because it happened a few days ago, but also because it's the media doing what they usually do. They were saying that Trump, because he said that if Joe Biden is elected, there's going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry, referring to massive loss of jobs. Very colorful language to describe it, but that's what he uses. That's what he does. I've probably used the same terminology to describe stuff myself that is hyperbolic like that. But he said bloodbath, and the media just jumped on that and said, oh, he's saying there's going to be a civil war. He's going to lead his followers in an insurrection. And because liberals know their viewers won't research it themselves or will even do mental gymnastics to justify the lie told to them by the media, they knew that they could get away with it. You know, I once had an argument with a liberal who is usually quite well informed, but he said Trump still said neo-Nazis were fine people. I quoted him the exact statement Trump said, where he said he was not talking about neo-Nazis. This is, again, at 2017 Charlottesville, August, after this riot or whatever, because they're trying to tear down a statue, right, in Charlottesville, Virginia, and there was a group of people who want the statue to stay, there was a group of people who wanted the statue to go, and then there were some neo-Nazis there that were just to be rabble-rousers or whatever. So there were three distinct units of people there. There were two units on the side that wanted the statue. There was one unit on the side against, and Trump said that there were fine people on both sides, but not the neo-Nazis. He was very clear about that. But unfortunately, the liberal media decided, you know what, we're just going to cut out that part where he says not the neo-Nazis. Now, my friend, though, he didn't. It seems that the same liberal that I was talking with, who said there were fine, who said there were fine people on the BLM riots of 2020, you know, the ones where 25 ended up dead, billions of dollars in damage were done, was now saying that everyone that wanted to keep the statue in Charlottesville was a neo-Nazi. Now, he didn't believe it, but he backed down real quick. But how many liberals wouldn't back down? How many liberals would, to justify their core belief for the last, what, 7 years now with that, would have gone, just kept going right on? Everyone there was a neo-Nazi that wanted the statue to stay. Who? Why would any sane person want such a... I forgot what the statue even was of. Why would any sane person want that slavery or Confederate statue to stay? They must have been a neo-Nazi in order to want it to stay. You know, you have to expand the category of how much you hate the other side in order to justify the lies that you've been told. So now we have the latest iteration of that. What Trump said is that if Biden wins, there will be a bloodbath in the auto industry, right? Whenever a conservative repeats an unfavorable quote by a liberal, liberals say context, like that would work, because usually that makes it even worse. So the context of Trump's remark is jobs in the auto industry. There would be a bloodbath in the auto industry because of jobs lost, angry unions, whatever. But that's not what liberals heard. The same liberals who, to my face, said that Trump saying peacefully protest means commit insurrection are now saying that bloodbath in auto industry is really a rallying cry for a bloody civil war, taking the comment way out of context as usual. Now, first of all, if liberals truly had cause to think Trump was as bad as they claim, why do they keep lying about him and his supporters? It's rather simple. If they say Trump is apocalyptic, Trump's the enemy, oh, Trump's calling for bloodbath, Trump's an insurrectionist, but he uses all these dog whistles. Peaceful protest means violent protest. Bloodbath in auto industry means civil war across the country. Like if Trump truly was as bad as they say, he wouldn't be using dog whistles. He would have deeds that you could point to, but all you can do is lie about what he says, and then when you're called out on the lie, say, oh, well, it's actually a dog whistle, and we're so smart that we saw right through it. Look at us, we're geniuses. Which apparently works with their followers. Now, first of all, if liberals truly had caused... Or, wait, no, I already said that. Secondly, though, let's look at liberals that call for violence, shall we? You have Eric Holder, former attorney general. Yeah, I know, I just gave away that I'm not doing this one off the top of my head by my little misstatement there, reading the same line over. But, yeah, I'm going in some quotes here, you know? Give me a break. So, let's look at these quotes, though. Eric Holder, former attorney general, threatened that if Republicans go, they would kick them. Use of violent language there, like Trump's bloodbath comment. Nancy Pelosi said there should be riots because of Trump's immigration policies. I am pretty sure that I've gotten that quote wrong over the years and attributed to her saying there should be riots if the Mueller probe failed. But it's actually, she was referring to riots because of Trump's immigration policies, said that there should be. Of course, at the time, she was the top Democrat in the House of Representatives, that she said that, 2018. Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader right now, leader of the Democrats in the Senate for like 10 years or something, ever since Harry Reid stepped down, Chuck Schumer told Brett Kavanaugh he will pay the price, and that was followed by an attempted assassination by a liberal activist. Again, you have the same violent rhetoric that they're saying Trump is bad for using coming from a Democrat. Democrat Congressman Ted Lieu threatened Trump with riots, widespread civil unrest, as he said, if he fired Mueller. That's probably where I mixed it up with Nancy Pelosi. Ted Lieu was the one who said that there'd be widespread riots if Trump fired Mueller. And Nancy Pelosi is the one who said there'd be riots because of Trump's immigration policy. Point is, Democrats were calling for riots. But, hey, they get away with it because they're Democrats. James Clapper, you know, the former intelligence guy who lied under oath to Congress about spying on Americans, said there'd be a, quote, firestorm, unquote, for firing Mueller. Which, again, riots, as you remember in 2020, there was quite a firestorm in the riots. Images of burning buildings while Democrat reporters were standing in front of them saying that these protests were peaceful. Then, of course, you have Maxine Waters and Cory Booker demanding physical intimidation, otherwise known as assault, be committed by their supporters against Republicans. Now, for those of you who don't know the finer points of the law, assault is the physical intimidation, making yourself menacing and threatening to somebody. Battery is when you actually haul out and physically attack them. So what Maxine Waters and Cory Booker were calling for was assault. Maxine Waters when she said, argue, get in their faces, confront them, all that, or whatever. Now, Congressman Joaquin Castro, another Democrat, outright said Democrats should fight Trump supporters in the streets. Again, no one held him to task for that. No one cared. He said exactly what Democrats were thinking. Democrat Senator John Tester said you have to punch Trump in the face to beat him. So fight Trump supporters in the street, punch Trump in the face as sitting president. That was the message of the Democrat Party. That's okay, apparently. But Trump saying there's a bloodbath, going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry because it's going to collapse if Biden is reelected. Oh, no, he's actually calling for a civil war, and he's evil and bad for calling for violence. Whereas we're saints, and you should listen to us. When we call for violence, it's acceptable. At least that was also the message of the 2020 riots. You remember those. State capitals invaded, and that was acceptable. But boy, January 6th, that was totally a different matter, because even though it was the same thing, it was conservatives who did it. Again, there's the less standards on display for you. More Silker Dish after this.
That's Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pierce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland, who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe sitting in today. Why did I say sitting in? That's what I've been doing all week on the Alan Nathan Show. That's something I'm doing here with you all. Anyway, while we wait for our guest, I'll just pop through some headlines that came up over the... Actually, some of these might have come across the course of the entire time that I'd been running reruns. Or not reruns, but airing pre-recorded, never-heard-before content that I recorded at CPAC. That's what I'm trying to say. It was not reruns. It was anyway, but we do have our guest now that I've finally finished misdescribing the last 3 weeks' worth of shows. We have Pastor Stephen E. Broden. He founded the Fair Park Bible Fellowship Church in 1987 and serves as its senior pastor. He has served as president of the Fair Park Friendship Center for over 18 years and as its executive director for over 11 years, with his latest book being Pawns of Change, The Exploitation of the Black Americans by Progressive Liberals. Pastor Broden, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be with you.
Glad to have you here, sir. So I want to ask about, apparently it came out recently that pastors had been taking money from the government to push COVID shots. That seems like a sort of a violation of the separation of church and state on its face, wouldn't you say?
Well, it certainly is a violation of what is ethical and what is morally right. An article that was titled Christian Pastors Caught Taking Bribes from the Government to Push COVID Shots, which was written by a Bradley Gear, who apparently through Freedom of Information was able to get that information and to expose what took place during a very critical time in our nation's history, when a lot of fear and insecurity was in the marketplace, and the government took advantage of that by approaching pastors and soliciting their help to push an unproven vaccine into the public square. And they crafted a narrative, that is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, crafted a narrative that Jesus would have us be good neighbors and take this shot so as not to infect anybody else. And with that narrative, they convince, and with bribes, with money, convince pastors and religious institutions to get on board to push a vaccine that was in the public square, that was primarily pushed or developed by Big Pharma, who were the recipients of billions of dollars. And I would imagine some greasy hand politicians were the recipients of receiving money from them to push their narrative as well. So it looks like this whole thing was set up to make money, and to make money for those who are more interested in their own personal gain than the interest of the health and well-being of American citizens.
Now, do we know that just this happened in general with pastors, or are there any specifics on which pastors? I'm not going to ask you to name names, of course, but like if the audience is out there concerned, well, my pastor was pushing vaccines. Was that because of his belief or because money changed hands? Is there a way to find out, or are we just left to be suspicious now? Did this possibly drive a wedge between the faithful and their leaders?
Well, actually, Greer listed about six or seven religious organizations, the American Baptist Association or denomination, the Episcopal, the Evangelicals of America, the Jewish Federation, and maybe one or two others that I can't recall at this time. But they solicited help from these powerful denominations and entities that perhaps informed or challenged or gave directives to those pastors who were in that denomination, in those denominations, to go ahead and to encourage the congregations to take an unproven shot. Now, to what extent monies were exchanged, if it was just exchanged with those denominational organizations or institutions, and they put money into those institutions. I don't know how that money was exchanged, but somehow Greer has said pastors were taking bribes. He identified pastors, and then he lists those organizations to which monies were exchanged. So I'm not sure if all pastors who were encouraging to take the shot were on the dole, were on the dole with the federal government. But we do know those organizations that he listed have churches and religious institutions under their sway, perhaps directed them based upon the monies that were coming in from the U.S. Health and Human Services to encourage their people to take the shot. The issue is that when you look at the title of that article, it says Christian pastors caught. That's the exposing word, caught, taking bribes. In other words, pastors did not do their due diligence to investigate, to determine the validity or the veracity of what was being pushed in the public square as an antidote, but they took the bag, took the money, and then began to champion the cause. Big Pharma was the beneficiaries of that, and then also the federal government, to whatever extent its agenda was, to make sure that people took that shot. And some people believe it's the shot had stuff in it that was designed to take people out. A lot of people died as a result of taking that shot. Many people died. And there has been empirical data that suggests that there were stuff inside that vaccine, like nanotechnology. Well, what was a nanobot doing inside that doggone vaccine? Creating stuff called veins and arteries and capillaries in our hearts. It seems a lot of people died because of massive heart attacks after taking that shot, and it looks like there was stuff clogging their veins. We don't know, because there has been a censor on those of us who are attempting to try to expose the deleterious impact of this vaccine upon human beings. And that means the media is in the hip pocket. The federal government is pushing that agenda. And there is, of course, the liberal left and the socialists and the Marxists who are using every means they can to undermine our liberties, our Constitution, and our right to choose or not to choose.
Hmm. And they're just waving money in front of our religious leaders in order to try and get them on their side. And, you know, even for the, because there's a lot of liberal Christians, we have to face that one. But even so, even for the liberal Christian crowd, though, first of all, I'll point out that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were opposed to the vaccine before Trump allegedly lost the election. But second of all, do you really want your faith leader to be at the beck and call of the government, because governments change?
Oh, absolutely. And Joe Biden was against abortion too, wasn't he? He's running his campaign in 2024 on pushing abortion. So you don't trust what politicians have to say. That's the first thing. Second thing, I think what is happening here, and I think many of us need to pay attention to this, that Antonio Gramsci, who was a communist philosopher, pushed an idea into the public square. It looks like we're going to a break.
Yes, sir, but if you can wrap it up in 20 seconds, that'd be fine. Well, actually, we'll just... okay. Well, if you can stay for the next segment, we can have you continue the conversation then. And listeners, I hope you'll stay through the break as well, because we have more Silk or Joe Show coming up.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together three game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well. So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's sparkling water. The cherry cola flavor is a must. Don't forget Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part about the brain is it's designed to regenerate, not deteriorate. Yet we're starting to eat foods that destroy our brains. The result is a crisis of cognition decline. 1 in 3 seniors are dying with some form of dementia. It does not have to be this way. We wrote this book, Eat to Think, because 97% of your brain health you control. And in this book is a roadmap to try to understand the brain and a path to how you improve your brain health. Go to eattothink.com, download a free version of the book, as well as other products that we can give you to help you start your journey to improve your brain health.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. And we are still joined from the last segment by Pastor Stephen E. Broden. He founded the Fair Park Bible Fellowship Church in 1987 and serves as its senior pastor. Now, Pastor Broden, you were starting to talk at the end of the last segment before the mandatory break cut you off here about a communist activist. What's going on with this?
Well, what I want to point out is that when we look at what took place with the United States Health and Human Services, and how they bribe pastors to engage in a practice that is antithetical to their theology and to the teachings of Scripture. we've got to ask the question, why is this happening? And there is a philosopher by the name of Antonio Gramsci who said this. He said, socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. And in the new order, socialism will triumph by first capturing the culture via infiltration of schools, university, and churches, and the media by transforming the consciousness of society. So what we see is there is a deliberate attack upon the church in order to snuff out its influence in the public square. And this is a Marxist strategy. It is a communistic strategy. If you remember, there is an economist by the name of Friedrich von Hayek. He said, emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguard of individual liberty has been eroded. And the more crises we are confronted with in America, and more emergencies, we are inclined to give up our liberties. And that's precisely what I think took place with this COVID-19. It was a crisis, it was an emergency, and many of us gave up our right to choose in order to line up and take a shot that was unproven, and religious leaders were out in front of that on behalf of a Marxist socialistic idea of capturing the culture by changing the consciousness of Americans.
Yeah, during the last segment, when you first were starting to describe how religious leaders were taken by the government like that, you know, my first thought was of probably what's going on in China with their religious leaders. To the extent that they allow any kind of religion, the government has to support the message that the church is giving. Otherwise, that church is going to disappear real quick. And they subsume Christian values in order to convert the Christians into good communist citizens, and then eventually eliminate this to the Christian values altogether. And that's what's going on here with our government, it seems, with subverting the religion the way they have.
Oh, absolutely. I do think that this is a what they call it, a bell cow circumstance or situation here. And we need to pay attention to it as pastors, as spiritual leaders, that our religious liberties are in jeopardy right now. You see, America was founded on a religious-based heritage of liberty under law. And the Constitution was written to limit the government, not the people. And so what we're seeing is that the government is expanding, and it's limiting our religious influence, our religious heritage, our Judeo-Christian ethic is being challenged at every hand. Same-sex marriage, gender fluidity, pronouns, and transgenderism, and now they're pushing pedophilia into the marketplace. Our morals are in trouble in America. In fact, there is a moral rot that is stinking up the nation right now, and the only true answer for it is a biblical theology that points us to right and wrong as defined by the divine Heavenly Father, who is the one who gives us morality.
You know, toward the end of actually about a month ago, there was a political reporter, I am not going to be able to pronounce that name, it's Heidi Perzibaila, and she was on MSNBC. And she was talking about how it's only Christian nationalists who are Christian nationalists are a threat because they believe our rights come from God. And it's totally ignorant of, you know, what you were saying, the religious foundation of this country, that yes, we do have inalienable rights from God. And she, this Politico reporter, is saying how terrible and terrifying it is that people believe that because the rights come from the government, which automatically means we are not entitled to any rights.
Absolutely. And that's a part of the negative narrative that goes unchallenged, unfettered in the public square, because they are censoring our voices, yours and mine, and they're promoting those philosophies that are contradictory to the religious heritage of our nation. You see, America has a Judeo-Christian ethic. It was founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic, and much of our success, I would say almost exclusively the successes that we've enjoyed as a nation, is the result of our Judeo-Christian ethic. And any narrative that contradicts that is doing violence to the history of our nation. And that's precisely what the socialists and the leftists are doing in America right now. They're creating a negative narrative about our religious heritage. And I think they're setting us up. They're setting us up for a secular humanistic idea that is devoid of the divine, and in the hands of those who are secular humanist and who believe that there are no absolutes and that they define what is right and what is wrong. We're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why our founders said the rights were derived from God, because that is a force that you can't, you know, counter. That's the highest force that you have in the universe. So how are you going to take someone's rights away if that is who, the person defining it? Only God can take them away. But now you have the secularists coming out saying, well, no, actually, we're the ones who tell you what rights you're allowed to have. We're the highest authority in the universe. And if you displease us, we can take your rights away.
Yeah, that's the environment that we exist in. So there is a need, a screaming need, for shows like yours and others who are designed to bring information, education, and then activation to activate our public, our citizens here in the United States, to stand up for our Constitution and to push back against a narrative that is undermining who we are as a nation and most of all our Constitution and our religious liberties.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but just undermining the very foundations of our religion, as we were discussing in the last segment with the HHS bribing our pastors in order to sell the COVID shot. Well, if they're undermining our religion to that extent, what else could they do to our religion, to our faith leaders? Unless we, like, go and read the Bible for ourselves, you know, we're pretty well vulnerable here.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine how these people have no respect for pastors and for their message at all when they see that they can buy them? No respect.
Yeah, and the also causes no respect coming from the congregation either. When they find out, well, my pastor's been bribed. Oh boy, how can I trust any religious leader? You know, it's like what they're doing with the Catholic priests, associating them with pedophilia the way they are. You know, it's not all of them. It's a problem, but it's not all of them. But it's become over the decades just this sort of narrative that, yeah, in fact, it is all of them. And now we have this bribery coming out. Is this just another way? It's a two-prong. It benefits the left, the secular left, in both fashions, in that it allows them to bribe the pastors to spread their message, but it also spreads lack of faith in the faith community.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very careful to announce to our listener, to your listeners, that there are two churches in America. There is the biblical church, those who are living by and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Then there's the cultural church, and the cultural church is living and preaching by political correctness. Thus, we have churches who are gay-affirming churches and churches who are more concerned about social justice as opposed to biblical justice. That's a distinction between the church that is imbued with power from on high through the Holy Spirit and those who are imbued with a secular humanistic idea that drives them to be politically correct. And by the way, political correctness is an instrument within the socialistic toolbox to create division and to create a narrative that contradicts the Bible. And so we need to recognize that. And all Christians are not seduced by this evil. And they're all pastors did not buy the take the bite or take the bag. I certainly didn't. And my church remained open during the entire period. And we just told people to use common sense, and that they need to be sure that they boost their immune system through natural means and through vitamins and through other alternatives rather than take the shot that is unproven. It is more dangerous, it seems to me, to take a shot that has not been tested than to take those remedies that we know work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's this seemed to be this active effort to suppress those remedies, and it's coming out, you know, in recent weeks and months and over the last year anyway, over the that some of these remedies actually did work, and something just made sense on their face, you know, like was it Dr. I forget it starts with a Z. I forgot the guy's name. I wanted to call him Zelensky. That's the Z name that's replaced his name.
It's Dr. Zelensky. That's right. I know of Dr. Zelensky. Yeah.
Right. And he, some of the stuff he was talking about was just what you would do for any respiratory virus and had been tried and true for any respiratory virus, but it got dispersed. He was considered a quack, even though he's saying, hey, do what we do for these other respiratory viruses because that's what COVID is.
Right, exactly. He and others were stepping into the public square and making it known that alternatives were available. and that pastor did not have to take the bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Stephen Broden, appreciate you holding firm during all of this. And listeners, he founded the Fair Park Bible Fellowship Church in 1987 and serves as its senior pastor. If you want to check them out, we're coming up to a break. But do return, because we have more show coming up.
According to iStock's visual GPS research, over 75% of people globally are already using some form of AI technology in their day-to-day work. Grant Farhall, Chief Product Officer at iStock, says when using AI, it's all about creating meaningful connections with your audience.
Our own research shows that over 40% of small and mid-sized businesses are using AI-generated content for marketing purposes. Generative AI tools can help businesses create those important connections that drive long-term value if done correctly.
iStock by Getty Images has released a new tool, Generative AI by iStock, which allows businesses to safely turn their creative vision into powerful content.
Generative AI by iStock empowers you to create compelling visuals to engage your audience. You can explore using AI with confidence by creating images and then downloading them with a commercial license and iStock's standard legal indemnification.
For more, visit ai.istockphoto.com/ITT.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked Granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. but get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Soaker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. Before we get to our current guest, though, I just want to real quick do a slight correction to the previous segment. It was not Dr. Zielinski, it was Dr. Zielinko. And you can blame the Slavic languages for giving these two people the same name. Actually, they're both apparently Ukrainian, so I don't know. Anyway, we are joined now by Craig Rucker. He is co-founder and executive director at Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. Craig Rucker, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Hey, it's great to be on the program.
Right, glad to have you. Yep. So now I live kind of in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, and on the local news for a little while, it was like last couple of weeks or so, they've been talking about beached whales, just randomly a bunch of whales popping up on the shore. It's like three or four of them that have been hitting the shores of Virginia down here, landing on the shores there. And you know, even as I'm watching it, I couldn't help but wonder, gee whiz, are the wind turbines that we're talking, that some of the wind turbines out there, are they having anything to do with this?
Well, and that's exactly what we're calling for the government to look into. The Biden administration wants to put in about 30,000 megawatts of offshore wind between now and 2030. They've been aggressively working with the utility companies, trying to rush these things in order to get us off of traditional energy sources and fulfill part of what Biden wants to do, stop the climate change and stop climate change from happening. The problem is these wind turbines are about 15 to 30 miles off U.S. coastline, which are right in the migratory lanes of about 30 different whale species, one of which is called the right whale. Not because of its political leanings, but because back in the whaling days, it was the right whale to harvest for blubber and things of that sort. Anyway, there's only about 350 of them left. And the concern is by rushing these wind projects up, not doing the types of environmental impact statements that you might typically do for, let's say, if you had offshore oil or anything like that, it could lead to their extinction. And so that's why our organization, CFACT, the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, teamed up with the Heartland Institute and the National Legal Policy Center to try and get an injunction to stop and do the proper environmental impact statements to make sure these things are not going to drive our marine mammals to extinction.
I know it seems like this would be the sort of thing that the government would want to happen, because then once the species is extinct, they'll just blame climate change. They won't blame the wind farms. And because they never did these studies, they'll have plausible deniability. They'll be able to say, oh, we didn't know that the wind farms will do that. Or they'll be able to say that's just hooey. No studies have proven it.
Well, and that's exactly what they've been doing. They are putting the onus on us, which is really remarkable, because you never saw the environmental groups nor the government take that position before when it came to any other industry, except for renewable energy industry, as they're saying, prove that they're harming the whales. Well, it never was that way. First, you have to prove your activity doesn't harm or can't harm the creatures before you take action to construct them. But in this particular case, they haven't really done any particular investigations. We know there's been what even the EPA has called a increased mortality event, a heightened one, since they've been pile driving, which is putting in the foundation work, and sonar blasting, mapping the ocean floor. We've seen some communities upwards of a 400% increase in whale deaths and whale beachings. Have there been complete linkage to offshore wind? No, and it is coincidence that it's happening at exactly the time they're doing this. But it would certainly give you pause to want to investigate, unless, of course, you're the Biden administration, where, hear no evil, see no evil, and they are not willing to do that. Hence, we have to sue them to try to get them to comply.
Oh, yeah, if someone was drilling a new oil platform, pounding in the foundations for that, and whales started beaching themselves, you'd have like a flotilla of private yachts out there trying to stop it. But with wind turbines, it seems willful ignorance on the part of environmental groups.
It is. And, it doesn't even just stop with the whales. I mean, even the component parts come from communist China. They use child and slave labor for the cobalt and the rare earth minerals in them. You know, it's basically an environmental boondoggle if you had it, you know. But this is where green energy is. It's something that's harming eagles on land, and it's harming whales in the ocean, and even its component parts are coming from places that don't care about environmental standards like China, and that's what the Biden administration is touting as green.
I mean, I've even talked with green folks who just it did not seem to bother them, all this stuff. They said, at least we're doing something. Better to be doing something. And they even didn't believe, like, that there was widespread stuff being done on eagles. Actually, I got laughed at when I mentioned the wind turbines being damaging to the eagle populations and whatnot. So it's like, there's just this denial on that side about what's going on, or at least that it's significant at all, perhaps, because they feel, well, our scientists don't agree with those assessments, therefore it's untrue, it's just rumors, or you're overblowing it.
Well, you can agree or disagree, but there are dead whales washing up on the shore, and they are at an increase, and the government can't explain why they're doing that. And it happens to coincide with when they're doing the, as I said, sonar blasting and pile driving. There are dead eagle carcasses that are found at the wind farms out in Lava Ridge, Idaho, and Wyoming and other places that they attribute directly to wind farms. And so, you know, from our perspective, what is theoretical are these climate claims. We know that, you know, a lot of what they've talked about when they make these catastrophic predictions, such as Greta Thunberg saying in 2018 we have 5 years left and then the end, well, that meant last year, 2023. So she takes a tweet down, you know, the AOC says we have 12 years left back in 2018. We'll see if the end actually comes. But their track record, ranging from Al Gore to King Philip and everything else, they do not have a good record in terms of their predictions. So I would say that the onus is on them to prove that climate change has something to do with any whale mortality versus more direct things like wind turbines and ship strikes that are caused by their navigation being disrupted.
Right. Well, they've been wrong about their predictions about climate change and its effects since, what, the 1970s. So you'd think after a 50-year track record, people would be a little more skeptical of their claims.
Oh, exactly. You had, now King Charles, but it was Prince Charles back in the day. Making claims that there was only 50-some months back in 2008. Al Gore saying the Arctic would be ice-free by 2013. I mean, it's claim after claim that has proven to be not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, Craig Recker, co-founder and executive director at Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, otherwise known as CFACT, we appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show this weekend. And listeners, thank you for tuning into our program as well. Our website is mainstreetmedianetwork.com. And our social media page is GetterGETTR.com. Be seeing you. Getter.com at Silk or Joe Show, I should say.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.